Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and we were talking Prague earlier, and we're going to talk Prague a little bit more, because this is November 17th, anniversary of the 1989 Velvet Revolution, or so we call it. The folks in Czechoslovakia tend to just call it November 17th, but I figure I can't really, I was in Prague for about a week, but I know someone who was there for a bit longer, and he's actually a cousin of mine, cousin David Levine, who went there on business and stayed for about 2 years. So he has a different perspective on the ups and downs of life there as an American expatriate. Dave Levine, you're back in America. You have been for many years now, but first of all, welcome to Dave's Gone By.
Thank you.
Tell us, first of all, what brought you to Prague?
What brought me to Prague was the very difficult economic situation in the United States in 1992. I graduated with a master's degree in international affairs from George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and could not find a job. My wife, who wasn't my wife then, had...
she was just her mistress at that point. No,
that's
I don't.
Right.
Just kidding.
I spent the summer of 1991 teaching English in Bratislava in Slovakia. And being that neither one of us could find a job, she said, well, let's go to Prague and the summer after we graduated in 92 and teach English. And being that neither one of us had a job and had no other prospects, we said, okay, we'll go and we'll see what happens.
And that was really it. I thought you were following actually a company there of some sort that stationed you.
No, it wasn't like that at all. It was really just, once we got there, you know, we met a lot of people in the expatriate community, and through networking, basically, I just was able to find a job with an Austrian investment bank.
Uh-huh. And was the language, I mean, you spoke English and were teaching Czech people English, but how good was your and Mary's Czech?
When we got there, it was non-existent.
And then an Austrian firm, I guess they conducted most of their affairs in English.
That's correct. And so I worked completely in English. I mean, obviously, I learned enough Czech to get by, but business was conducted in English.
So when you first got there for like the first few weeks or a couple of months,
mm-hmm.
what were your initial impressions, and then how did they change over the 2 years that you were there?
My initial impression was that it was one of the most beautiful places I ever had seen in my life, and that never changed even after living through a Prague winter, which is not cold, but at the time, and I think even still today, they burn brown coal.
Yeah.
And so the pollution in the winter is just awful.
Are you sure those aren't Jews? No, I don't know what that means. I have to agree with you, by the way. I was there as you know. In fact, we did a couple of meals together when I was
there.
It is the most gorgeous fairy tale looking city that I've ever seen. But I also have my reservations about it. So I'm wondering, you know, physically it was beautiful. What else were your thoughts about it?
I think the thing I had no expectation of is that when I studied history and political science in college and graduate school, and I really was under the impression, like many people in this country are, that when I left and when I went, that other people in other countries were just like us, and that freed from the tyranny of communism or the totalitarian control of a system like fascism or communism, people would be just like us.
Uh-huh.
And the realization was that that's not true at all, and that, in fact, that kind of system ruling people for decades can really damage people's psyche. And we have no idea as Americans how much damage that does. And I think, you know, so many times the United States has been involved in things abroad, whether in World War II or in Vietnam or today in Iraq, that initial shock of how different people are is just huge. And honestly, by the end of the time I was there, I really disliked the local people.
Do you have a specific example? Because I got a very cold and not very pleasant feel. I mean, there were certainly a lot of nice Czech people, but
right.
Overall,
well,
I was there
things.
For a week, and I felt like an outsider, and I made a joke before,
right.
but I felt like a Jew,
right.
and I just felt a little uncomfortable about that.
It's not so much the Jewishness that's an issue. It's just that these people had a double whammy. One, the pre-existing culture of Central Europe and Eastern Europe is one of coldness, especially Central Europe.
Hmm.
I mean, there are jokes in German and other languages about Austrians that go back in time before the end of the Habsburg Empire. I mean, there's definitely an attitude type, or the stereotypes you think of when you think of Germans.
Well,
the Czechs are just like that. The Czechs, Germans, Austrians, they're all the same. It's the same cultural background. That culture came into existence in the 19th century.
So until, like, you pour the first five beers into them, you know, there's just a wall up? Is that it?
Yep. And they have some very odd ideas about stuff. And then if you layer on communism, fascism, and that kind of control, you know, the lessons that communism and totalitarian control teach people are the opposite lessons that we learned in the United States growing up. We learned that if you save money and you work hard, you know, you'll succeed, you'll be able to buy a house, you'll work up in your job. We live in a meritocracy. In their system, they learned that you move up by cheating, stealing, lying, who you know. So it was a very different reward system, which led to a very different moral system.
Well, it's the long America's learning as we speak.
That's right. And
yeah.
You know, the joke in Prague, by the time I left, was Prague would be a great city except for the Czechs.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's physically. What are the other things that you liked about it, but not the physical stuff, not the architecture, not the paint? But
I mean, we also turn to the good side, we did meet a lot of people who were really trying. And who were, you know, trying to make the best of a country that had really been ravaged by the 20th century pretty hard. And so, you know, people were genuinely curious, and a lot of people were open and very inviting, and we met people who we became very friendly with. And, you know, I've never quite had some of the level of friends and just niceness and people just taking you into their homes and spending time with you that we had there.
Yeah, I had more of that when I visited Russia for a week on that same trip. That I really felt there. Prague, I did not get
that. You just weren't there long enough, I guess. But we did meet, you know, and there's always a bit of a mutual thing, because obviously people liked us to be around because they could practice speaking English with us.
Huh. Did you travel far afield of Prague? Did you go to, like, what is now Slovakia or Bratislava again?
Yeah, actually, we did a lot of traveling. I mean, I've been in Hungary and Poland and the Ukraine and Lithuania and Russia.
Oh, wow. But in that period, during
that period? Yeah, in that period, all in that period.
Was there a difference between, say, Prague, which is a pretty developed and cultural place, and going to the outlying areas?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the outlying areas were much less, I should say, developed, especially east of Prague. In Bohemia and around Prague, being so close to Germany and Austria, and also Bohemia was more developed before World War II, that part of the world was much more developed. But once, and, you know, Slovakia, parts of Bratislava and, you know, Western Hungary, Budapest are pretty developed. But when you get outside of the major cities in those areas, it definitely gets very much. It was almost like even being in Prague, one of the things that was most interesting about Prague and Budapest and all these cities is you really could get a sense of what Western Europe looked like before World War II.
Oh, yeah.
Because the amount of physical change, like, well, even in France, where there was less, you know, damage during World War II, just the 50 years, 40 years of economic growth had put a layer of modernity on everything. That, you know, everything was either cleaned up, renovated, modernized, and it was really hard to get a sense of the past, whereas in Eastern Europe, you really felt like you were in some movie from the 20s.
Yeah, I mean, stuff
had not changed at all.
Yeah, I remember being in Romania and feeling that, and, like, it was a college town, but if you went away from the college about four blocks, suddenly it could have been, you know, 1700-something.
Right, I mean, everything from the street lights to the mailbox was original.
Wow.
Like the door handles, the windows, the grates on the storefronts, you know, everything was old.
Not to be a downer, but did you get to any of the concentration camps?
Yes, I've been to most things like that in Poland and the Czech Republic and in the Ukraine and, you know, the Warsaw Ghetto and the ghetto in Vilnius.
Wow. Jeez.
And Babi Yar and, you know, and
which is the one in Czechoslovakia? Or what?
Theresienstadt in German is the name of it. That was the so-called model concentration camp.
So what's there now? Is it a museum? Or
it's
did
a museum
they just
leave
now. It, or, yeah.
It was an old, Austrian military town. And it was a fortress. So they turned the fortress with the military housing into the camp, and part of it is a museum, and part of it is still housing for the Czech military.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
But, I mean, when you look at it, it just looks like a town. I mean, it doesn't look like... It wasn't a concentration camp with gas ovens like Auschwitz.
It was more just a POW or a labor camp.
It was more just a penal, you know, holding place. When they killed people, they shipped them to Auschwitz, so...
Okay, on to happier things.
Poland, yeah. Poland is full of this stuff. I mean, every place you go, there's just old synagogues and old. I mean, I've wandered over many old graveyards, including the ones from where my mother's family, you know, the towns. I went to the village, the towns actually where my mother's family came from in the Ukraine. And Poland and Ukraine are a graveyard of the Jewish people. There's no doubt about that.
Well, actually, the Jewish graveyard in Prague is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. You can tell folks a little bit about that one.
The Jewish graveyard in Prague is attached to the old Altnoya Shul in Prague, which is one of the oldest standing synagogues in Central Europe. And the graveyard, I think, has been there. It's probably almost 1,000 years old.
Wow.
It was the center of an area that was the Jewish ghetto, where the Jews were forced to live. And so after they ran out of room, they would just put graves on top of graves, and the elevation of the level of the graveyard rose above the street.
Yeah, it's like one on top of the other. If you haven't seen a picture of it, it's kind of hard to describe. But, you know, between the length of your hands, if you held them out, that's further than two gravestones would be.
That's right.
Pretty amazing. Did you get a sense of the politics there? And you were already after the revolution and post Havel, or did you kind of just looking over in the papers and?
I definitely followed the politics. I think it's very hard to move from a system where people were cowed as they were under communism to a system of personal responsibility and personal choice. And it's very difficult. And the system was full of imperfections.
Yeah.
It was also full of subsidies. So the true cost of things like housing and electricity and gas, whatever, wasn't really passed through the system. And, you know, of course, nobody wanted to give up their cheap apartments and their subsidies, which, of course, made it very difficult to move forward. And those issues of change and, you know, staying stable and change, that dynamic between the two was probably a driving force. And then just the sheer inexperience of people.
I mean,
when you meet people in business meetings or direct as a factory, the inexperience with the market economy. I'm sure 10 years later now, I'm sure things have improved or changed, but at the time, the amount of inexperience among people who grew up in a system very different from our own was huge.
Would you go back?
I'd like to go back to visit someday, but...
Nice place to visit, but...
I wouldn't want to live there, because even beyond the problems caused by the transition from communism to capitalism, it's the Central European attitude, that personality. You know, it comes out if you read like Philip Roth and other books about, you know, Jews who emigrated from Eastern Europe, or if you read stories by Germans or Austrians or other people who lived in Central Europe, that attitude permeates.
Right.
It's not a very pleasant one. I mean, personally, I'd rather go to Italy or Spain for vacation. But people are a lot nicer, and it's a...
Go where all the Jews go. Miami.
Miami.
David Levine, I want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes here and telling us about your travels and your residency in Czechoslovakia, in Prague. Want to also just thank you so much for being a part of this episode of Dave's Gone By.
My pleasure.
Have a good one.